Hi, everyone. I am about to start one of the very, very most important session of all in the whole program that I have. And I believe that I have created. This is something that accountants, auditors, business owners will never have this kind of resources before at their fingertips. And I believe that this one is going to be a game changer because it's going to empower every single accountant or especially business owners. If you know this number inside out, in the back of your hand and have the control over it, your business will guarantee a prosperity. So let me present it to you, the structure and also the information. And this is going to be coming about. Let me share this with you. And the greatest information that I'm going to emphasize today is going to be the 7 key cost components that every single business owners must know and predict for it. So that's why you can adjust and measure the temperature of your business. You know, and I also hearing something today that I hope by the time that you get to learn with me enough that you can see I love either a number 3 or a number 7. And to me, the number 7 is means for rainbow. There are 7 colors and that's what making the rainbow. So knowing this 7 key component number, that's going to give you the rainbow for your business. First, let me walk you through why and how, what the interaction of the 7 numbers into the whole picture of the business. This one, I want to share with you an organizational chart of a business. And this is applicable for any business that from startup all the way to the revenue of $50 million. A lot of time you would hear company whenever they're creating an org chart, they would go from a IT department, marketing department, accounting department, admin department, HR department. I want to for you to sit back and really ripping off all of this kind of departments, because some of you who have the background as working in corporate for a long time, that's what you're hearing is different departments. I want you to step back and looking at the business and each of the function are putting into the business as a business cycle. For a business, it's very simple. And this is how I always look at the concept whenever I audit a business as well. A business is how do you make money? How do you spend your money? And what's left is in it, right? So how do you make money? How do you spend money? So really, if you're looking at the org chart that I have, one side is how do you make the money? And then the other side control how the money are being spent. So your chief operating officers is the one that gonna come in up and help the company making the money. Now the controller or the CFO will be the one that helping you to making sure you spend the money correctly. And if we're gonna put them in like this, they're gonna be always in the competition because the COO, gonna be, if you want, you hear the saying that is you can only make money out of money. And sometimes if the CFO did not want to spend the money, then the COO feel like, you know, their hand is tied and they cannot spend any more money to make money. So I want to break it down so that now between the two function, the two C executive is not going to see the tension between the two and how you can really complement and working together. And many, many companies, if you're in a smaller side business, and I believe even from 0 to 50 million, sometimes you don't have a very clear cut of the president, the COO, or the CFO. Though you don't have that clear cut, that doesn't mean that you don't have that kind of responsibility. you just have a lot of responsibilities, and it just may be spreading. The president will do a little bit of this, the controller will do a little bit of that, and then the chief operating officer, maybe your operation manager, who will do the crisscrossing. And now I want to make it clear. I want to make it clear. And then by this time, each people will pick the lane that they love to work in on that lane. And so they can be passionate about it, and they can move on, and they can be by the prosperity around it. So under the CEO of the company, there's chief operating officers. And what is chief operating officer is gonna be overseeing the business development, which means how do you bring an in customer? How do you attracting the customers? And many of this in the traditional business structure, people would have a big term, it's called marketing. And marketing and business development and sales are all using intertwinedly. And sometimes people don't have a clear cut. And how do they measure the performance of the marketing team, the sales team, and then a business development person on top of that, right? So we're going to break it down, and it's going to be have two simple data that we should only track, these two simple data. And of course, you know, in order to get to these numbers, there are a lot of statistics behind it. But as a person that's sitting on top, or the person sitting in the middle, or even the lowest person, they need to know which of the meters should I measure, right? And so that's, I would call in general business development. How do you bring in the customer into the business? How is you attracting people to know about your business and turn them into your customer? So that's why I put attract, which means attracting the leads. And number two is convert them from the lead being your customers. So that's two functions within the business development umbrella. And I'm going to try to take out as many and try to break it down as layman term as much as possible. Now, in the second bucket right here, is I call it project management or manufacturing products. Mainly, how do you deliver the product to your customer? Mainly, how do you deliver the service to the customers? So let's say, for example, like I own a CPA firm and we have an accounting team. So if my customer demanding, they come in and they say, okay, Wendy, you're going to take care of our monthly financial statement, then my accounting team have to make sure that the day-to-day data are up to date, and then also understanding the company operation so they can classify all of the expenses correctly. And at the end of the month, then they would close the book and presenting it. So that is when we delivered the services to the customer, right? The next one is people would think about it, but then is what I call it quality control or compliance and or customer retentions, right? This means is going back to the example of me being the accounting firm. So when my staff are closing the book, who is going to be the one to making sure that the information is correctly? So that's the quality control. There has to be somebody that reviewing the information so to ensure that they're doing it right, right? Or, you know, let's say we also a tax firm. So we're preparing tax returns for people. So how do we make sure that the staff member who have done the tax work following all of the tax code and the procedures, that is the compliance correctly or the legal was done correctly? So that is also part of the operation of the business. And imagine if you are a manufacturing plant that you providing information. I mean, if you was manufacturing a bottle of water, right? So you want to make sure that the water quality is there and it's consistent and all of the caps are properly sealed. So that's there is quality control and also compliance around it. And now I also add in there is the customer retentions, because you know, how many businesses out there actually, when they sell a product, they're going to offer a rebate. They're going to offer a discount. They're going to offer a reward. And so we should not, you know, ding the project management group because they're already doing their best in delivering and packaging this product. But now, because we want to retain the customers, we're going to willing to be offered the discount to this customer or the reward. So we're going to put it under a customer retention. So that's way it's looked back into the beginning of the business development people who just continue to attract new customer, new lead, turn them into customer, delivering the service. And then you also have to catch them from the end that make sure that they come back and buy in your business. So customer retention is extremely important and we have to put it in here. And it's just not something we don't plan for it. The next one is my favorite. I put the innovation in here and under operations because what? There will be time and you always have to be cognizant of how am I going to continue to stay in the business? Will my business be obsolete? I mean, if you look at the yellow page, is in the past that every single household would have a booklet that's dropping at their house. But then when things are moving over to the internet, get what? Nobody looking at the yellow page anymore and looking and searching for things. And I remember, you know, about 16 years ago when I first moved to Houston, that's actually what I did. I looked up a yellow page, looking for a CPA firm that close by to where I'm at, and then just going to call them and say, do you need a temporary help right now? And that was just only what, about 16 years ago. And that's a long time that I'm still using the yellow page. But guess what? If you are trying to looking for something right now, Google is your best friend, Yahoo, and then, you know, anything else in between, right? So that all of this is, I put it innovations. And if some of you, if you haven't heard of the term Blue Ocean Strategy, you can look it up later. And so the Blue Ocean Strategy is, which means that how do you break yourself out of the red ocean? The red ocean is where everybody are competing. So imagine that I starting a business and just doing bookkeeping. How many bookkeepers are out there? How many CPA firm actually providing bookkeeping services? So I'm just going to entering into a market that is already very, can be very commoditized. And so I have to think of a way that how can I break out and how can I be ahead of my competitors? And so that is called innovations. And again, every business, you have to plan for this piece because that's going to be your falling part that is part of your DNA. And most business owners are extremely, extremely creative. It just never, I don't know how much intention you put into this part. Now, that is all of this is under the operating of the business. I'm dabbling over to this side of the business. And, you know, many businesses are taken for granted. I would call this essential business functions. First, accounting. So imagine that this side, the project management have do everything possible to produce the best product ever, deliver it to the customer. But guess what? We didn't have an accounting system in place. So we can send out the billings and we cannot collect the money. So it's cash, right? So it's cash that's coming into the door. It's no matter how hard we work, we want to make sure that we're able to collecting that money. And then how do you making sure that your suppliers are being correctly paid? How do you know that making sure I put in here procurement and fixed assets management? How do you know that you got the best vendors to work with? So somebody have to help you to vetting that part. You cannot sometimes put everything under the project management person or the one that manufacturing the products because they will just focus in making the best quality of the products. They may not have time to look around for, you know, doing a price shopping. So as your business expand into millions of dollars, you have to have somebody to be a secret shopper for your business. And that's, I call it the procurement functions. And that is still within the controller side, which is very intimate with the dollar, right? The next function that I say is very important is, you know, human resources. It's the administrative, it's the technology, the IT, the security, and then list, but people sometimes legal. I mean, is people can pay a very hefty price charge for not, for sometimes that you are out of compliance with something, right? So it like, let's say if your business were doing business in the Texas, but then you also deliver that product over to the next day or go to New York or go to California, and then that you decide to have employees in New York and California, what is the legal implications to do to have employees in those states? You know, that's going to touch HR, that's going to touch the human resources, and then it's going to touch the legality of operating and having a business over there or doing business over there. So there's, and also when you do business, you may be having customer that you enter into the contract with. So you have to have the legal protection that making sure your contract giving you everything that is, can be possibly cover up. So, you know, the HR, admin, IT, legal function, even though I put them all in one bucket, but to me, all of this is essential for business functions. The reason that I'm really coming up with the essential is because I'm doing this recording in August of 2020. And we've been going through a major pandemic and everything has been locked down. The only thing that allowed to open our essential business, like restaurant, like home building, like AC repairing, grocery stores. So again, so thinking in terms of all of this are essential for your business, to, for the survival of the business that you need to have. And it's not always about hiring more and more people. It's making sure that there are, you know, functions, there are specific tasks that need to be carried out, and it's depend on, it's going to be internal person that carry it out. The controller maybe carry it out. The president probably working to this part. So this is the org chart that I believe, strongly believe that every single business should have and think about the org chart. And originally when a business starting out as a startup, they have only two employees. Guess what? The name gonna be all over this box. You're gonna have the CEO will be the COO, will be the CFO, accounting. It's gonna be the same name that repeating maybe like in all of the boxes if you are a single business owner. And then if not, then I mean, if you have a bigger team, then that is gonna have more names that dropping in here. The goal is as many functions as possible that you want to break it out to different people with only holding being accountable for one key component of your business. Because guess what? Once you have everybody can just make decisions, let's say just imagine for the procurement, if you're going to have like three people can make decide which vendors and who vendors to purchase from, what if they're going to be, they're just going to buy a rocks, right? And this procurement person, we're just going to be, there's three of them and all three go out and shopping at three different vendors and three different preferences. What's going to happen? That's a lot of wasteful resources, isn't it? So, but at the same time, you don't want to have the same name to carrying so many functions, because then that's going to limit their capacity in growing and expanding and doing a better job in their lands, because they have to cross multiple lands. Imagine if you're going to drive a car and try to drive, making sure that I'm going to give you an order that going on a highway and this highway have five lanes, making sure you're hitting all of these five lanes. Tell me how fast that car can get to the destination versus we have five cars in five lanes. How fast is that going to get to the destinations? So I hope you can see that there's some point in here. There are interesting number that I am putting in here. And so there's Sorry, my number was just Kelly disappeared on me. I'm just gonna have to move it up so people can see the number. Okay. All right. So I am an expert in profit first. And so I have to tell you that the way that accountant thinking and most people is that revenue minus expenses equal your net income. But when you have a business, you need to know it and be any given point of time, what is the profitability of your business? For every dollar that you generate, you need to know how many, what is the percentage that you take home at profit? So I would always say revenue minus profit, and what's left is the expenses. And how do you, and what's left in the expense, how you're gonna spread it among all of this business function, because they are you make sure that you have them in order to survive the business, right? So so I give a very brief example right here, you know, with all of this business function. So there's revenue, I'm picking one of the example is in the cars industry. So this is an auto, it's a repair and it's a dealership. So they're doing repair. They also reselling cars, and then they also reselling part and supplies. So they have three sources of revenue coming in: that selling cars, repair, so there's some services, and then there are parts that they are reselling. So it's whether you do it cars, repair, or parts, is all of this have to go through the same cycle right here. You know, is how do you get people into thinking of the car? How do you make them into the customer of buying the car? And then in this bucket right here, how do you making sure that the car that you sell are as the good quality and this good level? How do you find that car? And then in the innovation part, what other cars that you can sell beside that, this type of used car? Or how do you really connecting? Same thing if it's repair and maintenance. So every single revenue line item, you have to think through this cycle, you know, think it through completely. And then this part, you can really sharing among each other all of the revenue. The next part is the direct cost, right? So sometimes, let's say an example of you have a you are a broker, and you have a lot of the realtors that working under you, and you may be saying that, you know, this year we are selling 100 houses, and that 100 houses is $20 million of all of the house that is combined. Does that really mean you have $100 million in revenue? Not really, right? Because it's the cost of the house, and you end up just having the, you're earning the commission of each of those house. And then also with that commission, you're going to be paying 90% of that out as well. So you only have, you have a chunk of your profits that you have left, and then you still have to pay for everything else that to support all of the agents that are working with you. I'm going to dive in a little bit into here more when each one of you present to me your financial statements, and we can do it that way. But I want is that you budget out what is going to be your net profit first before we go into the expense part. So, ready? Interestingly, right now outside is raining hard. So hopefully the rainbow will come. So there are seven key cost components, you know, to a business that it need to be monitored. So if you look at the business development, you have to know what is your cost of attracting the list, the lead that come into and knowing your business. And so that's number one, right? Under the business development. The next thing is, what is the cost of you converting these leads into a customer? what activities that you need to do and how much money you have to spend on it in order for you to earn one customer. So that's the second number. And I put it here, it's not a mistake that you see number three twice, because it depends on your business, whether you manufacture a product or you doing a service related type of activities. So here you're going to have cost to manufacture the product or cost to service the customers. So going back to the example of being an accounting firm, then what is my cost of hiring an accountant to making sure that they're closing out the book for my customer? So that's the cost to service my customers, right? The next cost is the quality control, the compliance, or client engagement, client retentions, or customer retentions. So in this part here, is you have to know, like in this one, when I say quality control, I can't just having an accountant or a bookkeeper finish closing the book and not spending either my time or my accounting manager time, that would be, or my other partner's time, that would be reviewing to making sure the financial is correct. So that's a quality control, you know, cost that is coming into place. And then the next thing is that client intent, engagement and retentions. You know, what if we decide to writing a survey and obtain a survey to get to know our customers better? What is their pain point? So there has to be somebody that doing that task, right? Sending out all of this email. And so you have to hire that person or you yourself doing it. Regardless who doing that, the tasks have to be get done. And when the tasks need to be get done, then you have to pay money for it. So that's cost in number four. And you can see here, you know, this is within the wheelhouse of this box right here. So number five is innovation, cost to sustain and grow business. When you at the CEO or president level, you know, you would go out and you would go networking and get to know other people. And then you decide to take in a course or went on a trip to explore new business opportunities. So when you spend that money into going somewhere, learning, networking, and learning how your competitors are doing, that is the cost that should be allocated to innovations, right? Because you try to come in up, you're going to have to spend money to help your business either sustain or grow your business. That cost is really have nothing to do with business development. That cost have nothing to do with delivering the service. That cost have nothing to do with quality control. We have to find a space for that cost. Why do we need to find a space for that cost? Because when you find a space for it, then you can also budgeting for it. Because you're going to sit back and say that, do I need to spend more time in this bucket, this bucket, this bucket? Or as an owner, I really need to spend time in here and investing majority of my time and have somebody else take care of this part for me. Or vice versa. I mean, you may hire a consultant to really tell you how to break it out and find up blue ocean strategies. And you can always researching on this book as well. Okay. Now, essential, which means must have business functions. The must have business function, you must have to have accountant. You must have somebody, you know, either you have a software, you have a system, you have a vendors that taking care of your IT, your admin, your legal, your HR, and then your procurement. So it's a must have business function, because guess what? If you are saving money and not spending any money in this part, there's nobody to support all of these people right here. Really. Right. So that's the number six. You have to know what is the bare minimum that essential for your business to continue to operate. So now what I call is add-on fun And I look at this org chart, and I allocate, number six to the CFO and controller, because they are the essential business function, right? So I don't know where to fit number seven, which I call it fun, that I put it here. Because as a business owner, you always continuously selling your vision, selling your passion, that people would come on board, will work with you, the customer will come to you, the vendors will come to you, the employees are coming to you. So you become an entertainer in your business, regardless you want it or not. So that's why I put number seven right here. I put number seven because it means that this is the expenditure that you're going to be spending for protecting your company values, for making sure that you have the best culture, that people want to be part of your organizations, because otherwise you're just going to be a single solo person running your business and you don't have a team with you. Right. So that's why I put number seven in there. And the next step is I'm going to walk you through, Wendy, all of this sounds very important, but how do I sit down with an accountant and looking at my financial statements and can really identify all of this cost? I hope that's going to be a question that you're asking me right now. Right. So I'm sharing with you, this is the seven key costs, and I'm going to quiz you to see if does your business have this, the dashboard that you can look at anytime, your revenue, your profit, and the seven key cost components for your business that you can always measuring the effective of you spending the money in here. So under this expense. So stay tuned, and we're going to go next into really the nuts and bold. And the first time I'm going to get you become an accountant. All right. So let's wait for the next video.